You might like to open your Bible, if you would, to the book of Zechariah and chapter 9. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in prayer. And our God and Father, we thank you again that we can open thy word. Here we are. So God, thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. In the light of everything, here's Zechariah in the days after the 70-year captivity. And Zechariah, we have gone through the 10 tribes in the north, the Assyrian captivity in 722, and we went through the Babylonian captivity, Jerusalem and Babylon, and Babylon has leveled the city and the temple, and the 70 years have been finished at this point in Zechariah, and the Israelites, a number of them, have come back to the land. Not all of them, but some of them did. Now, as they're back there under Zerubbabel, and they do what they do best they can, and then they build the temple foundation, and then they finish the temple in 516, I think, and they finish the temple. So, and now here's Ezra, here's Ezra and Nehemiah coming up later, but not yet. But Zechariah and Haggai are ministering to the people that are there. And Ezra and Nehemiah aren't around yet. So here we have a temple built. There's lots of the enemies all around us, and we have ruins everywhere. Ruins. The ruins are still there in the days of Ezra. They used them to build and etc. And so they're there. They have not much going for them, but they do have the temple. No ark, no glory, but they do have the temple. And they're there. So it's a very difficult time. They're there trying to recover. They're there trying to hold on and hang in there. It won't be too long thereafter, Malachi, and then 400 years of nothing, as it were, until John the Baptist. So here we are looking, and Zechariah is writing to encourage them, to stimulate them, to get them to think, because what used to be isn't anymore. It isn't existent. No more temple, no more Solomon, etc. And what they have isn't going to be around very much, even though the temple stays somewhat. Nothing really happens. It's all going to go downhill. So it's a very difficult time. And that they're encouraged to hang in there anyway, even though difficult. So if things haven't gone well, but that doesn't mean they can't. And God gives them some very helpful encouragement. So here we are looking, and we'd like to see some things resolved rightly, not wrongly. If they would let that happen, maybe, maybe not. So here we are. We are looking at what used to be the glory of the USA. We're looking at trying to maintain its existence. So now, here's Zechariah chapter 9. And if I pick up, remember in verse 9, in the context, verse 9, God tells them about his first coming. Verse 10, he tells them about his second coming. Verse 11, he tells them to be encouraged. I'll read that, if I may. And as for thee, also by the blood of thy covenant, I have sent forth thy prisoners out of the pit wherein is no water. And that's illustration easiest to see that is, and you'll pick if you read Genesis 37 and that, Where was Joseph put? He was put in the pit, and the pit had no water. That's what he did. So here's, what does it mean? Here's Joseph leading the way through history, and he's put in the pit by his brethren, and it has no water. Now, here they are, and in verse 11, they're prisoners. Bring forth, verse, I have sent forth thy prisoners out of the pit where there is no water. You've just come out of Babylon, and here you are, out of idolatry, where the heart of idolatry is, and here you have a little bit, but not much. So you need to be encouraged. So therefore, he says in verse 11, remember that part of it, as for thee also, by the blood of thy covenant. So there's a wonderful, wonderful commitment that has been made. God made it. God made it by his shed blood. And all the way back from Exodus and the blood of, and Genesis chapter 3, the seed of the woman and the coats of skin and the blood all the way through. Now, just for us to lock that in, for us, here we are. They're to be encouraged. There's a unique relationship established and settled and assured by blood. Over to Acts and chapter 20. And just reminding yourself, all the wonderful truth that God gives to Israel and to the believing heart in the Old Testament is all because of the person of Jesus Christ. And when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, you receive all of that wonderful work. Anything God did and illustrated in the Old Testament, he did it. When you received him as your Savior, he's the one inside of you that did all that. We're in his presence who did all that. Acts chapter 20, you know it, in verse 28, Paul to the Ephesians. Verse 28, take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. What are we doing? To feed, take care, feed the church, feed the believers. Make sure they get their food. Feed the church which belongs to God, the assembly, church, assembly, which is God's. God's assembly, which the assembly, God's, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Christ died on the cross in his perfect humanity. And God said, that was my blood in that flesh that died for you. That's my blood. Now that's our relationship. To lock it in a little more, over to 1 Peter. First Peter chapter 1, again you're familiar, and you're locking in. What is the basis of the and the assurance for the relationship that as you read all the promises and wonderment of God, and you say, well, that was yesterday, and that was 100 years ago, 1,000 years ago. Oops, that's true sometime. But the one we're reading it, we're in the presence, and God has taken us, hang on, for his own. First Peter chapter 1, and you'll notice in verse 18, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, your manner of living. Conversation. Received by tradition from your fathers, mother, father, grandfather, all the way down the line. That's where we got it. But, on the contrary, how were we redeemed? Verse 19. But with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained, foreknown, before you, angels, etc., before the foundation of the world, what was manifest, made clear, public, plain, in these last times for you. So God, what do we know? Well, here's Zechariah being encouraging the believers that they have a unique relationship to God. And it isn't some casual thing, something assigned, piece of paper. No, it's based on the person and work of God, that God it paid the price with his son. Ransomed. He paid the price by his precious blood. So that establishes that. I need to know that. So when I'm looking to God, my relationship isn't based on my feeling, my fears, my faults, my stupidity, nothing else. It's based on God's wonderful grace in the shedding of his blood. Now, back over to Zechariah. And you will note, remember now, the world that these people, Zechariah, Israelites, that have gone back, they aren't in the world before Nebuchadnezzar knocks the building temple down. They aren't in the world of Babylon where they were for 7 years, city. They aren't there. Now they're in a whole different thing. And God gave them a whole different game to work through, to go through. All the while, it's going to get downhill, but work through it in God's grace. The possible is not impossible if God's in it. If God wants something, and you say it's impossible, I agree, we're in one impossible situation. But if God wants it, impossible doesn't mean a thing. Doesn't mean a thing. Now, hang on. Zechariah chapter 9. And you'll go, if I can. They're prisoners, and I'm going to go to verse 12 now. Turn. What are you going to say now? You're going to give him instructions. Turn you to the strong stronghold, ye prisoners of hope. Even today do I declare that I will render double unto you. Now, having said that, we got to take that apart. As God's encouraging them, and he tells them, verse 12, turn to the stronghold. You got to turn to the stronghold. Well, what's a stronghold? And a stronghold is that which is fortified, a city, a fortress. A city, a fortress, a great compound that is inaccessible. You can't get to it. It's awesomeness, inaccessible. You can't get to it. It's cut off. You can't get to it. Like a big moat. You can't get to it. Can't get through it. Can't get to it. Not at all. Uh-huh. So, Turn to the stronghold, ye prisoners. So they're going to turn to somewhere. Where are they going to turn? They need to get to the fortress. They need to get to that which is impregnable and able to be, you could stand no matter what. You're fortified. It's in no one can get you. No matter what, they can't get you because you're in a safe place. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, go with me, please, over to Jeremiah and chapter 1, just to see it. In Jeremiah chapter 1, what is this stronghold? Got to turn to the stronghold. What are we going to turn to? What are they going to turn to? They're going to turn to the fortified place, the place that's invincible. Now, you remember it in our study of Jeremiah. In chapter 1, picking up, please, God's going to keep and honor Jeremiah. He's going to go to a people that are going to reject him and put him in prison, etc., Jeremiah. And so that Jeremiah is going into an impossible situation where the odds, the opponents, the obstacles are overwhelming. There's no way he could win. In fact, as we remember doing it up to this point, he was all alone. He was always all alone. You never read about the gang with him. You never read about it. Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, Daniel, they're there. But Jeremiah, who do you have? And Ezekiel's taken away in the second trip by Nebuchadnezzar. So here's Jeremiah. So chapter 1, God tells him before he starts his wonderful adventure. And you'll remember it, but watch how it comes out. Jeremiah and chapter 1, picking up, if I may, in verse 17. Thou therefore gird up the loins and arise and speak unto them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces. They're going to go after you. They're going to go. They make mockery and yell and everything. Do not be dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before thee. Don't embarrass me, said God. We're out to win. Don't look like a loser when you're a winner. Don't make me look like a loser. Verse 18. For behold, what's the encouragement, Jeremiah? I have made thee this day a defensed city, an iron pillar, brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, against the people thereof. And they shall fight against you. That's what they're going to do. But they shall not prevail against thee. Why not? For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. Now, why can't they win? Because I'm there, said God. No one can win if I'm there. No one can win. Hang on. So, no place to get, you can't get you. No, fortified city. Iron walls, etc., brass walls. There's no way to get you. No. There's no way to get our Lord going to the cross until it's God's will. Now, having said that, Jeremiah, over to chapter 33. And look at it again in a little different way. Inaccessible place. Chapter 33, Jeremiah. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah in the second time, while he was yet shut up in the court of the prison. So he's in prison. Verse 2. Thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it and established it, the Lord is his name. Therefore, call upon me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things. Do you see the two words, mighty things? Inaccessible, beyond reach, fortified. Things that are locked in. You can't get at them. You can't make them disappear. You can't make them evaporate. They're always there because of the blood of Christ. They're always there. They aren't going to go anywhere. Nope. The wall, no one can get through it. No one can get through it. Just without taking time. Just think of Philippians 4, 6, and 7. We don't worry. We're not to worry about anything, but by prayer and thanksgiving, especially looking to God with prayer and thanksgiving. We do all of that. And the peace of God, verse 7, which passes what? All understanding, will do what? Mount God on your heart and keep you. What does? The peace of God. What did the Lord Jesus, you just did it on Sunday. John 14:27. Don't let the world sell you its peace. I give you peace. My peace I give unto you. It's impregnable. Do you understand? You can't get through it. Can't change it. The blood of the Lord Jesus, it cost him to make this possible. His son, it cost him. So he isn't about to go and lose. What do you need to be encouraged in the days of Israel, Zechariah's day? You need to understand, God is keeping you. You go to the stronghold. Go to the fortified place. Hang on now, over to, and you'll notice, please, the end of verse 3 there, which thou knowest not. You have to discover it. And by the way, isn't that what Jeremiah did? He was told he was so protected by God as a fortified city. And then he got fired at, beat up, imprisoned, all kinds of things. And you know what? He survived every time. Every time he survived. It didn't matter. He had to learn. He was being protected. He was being fortified. God was doing his thing. But you won't know it unless you go through the college of bumps and bruises and fall down and hurt yourself. That's how you learn. So here, if I can, over to, over to Zechariah. When all else fails, go where we were. Zechariah chapter 9. So God's going to put him. Oh, thank you for reminding me. Did you do that? Hang on to that, because it came back to me. You need that. You need this one. Joel chapter 3. The book of Joel. And it keeps you awake when you have to stay awake and try to figure everything out. Joel in chapter 3. What are you going to do? Joel's early on compared to these guys. What'd you say, Joel? God, you say the same thing over and over, different times, different ways. So Job 31, picking up, please, right in the middle of all of that, judgment and the great day of the Lord and all of that. Chapter 3, verse 16, going directly in the light of the context. The Lord also shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake, but the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength, there's your little word, inaccessible, fortress, fortified. The Lord will be the strength, the fortress of the children of Israel. So where are you hiding? I'm hiding in Christ. Think of Colossians 3:3. And your life is hid where? In Christ Jesus. Hid. But you can get me, but you can't get me. Get you, but they can't get you. Wow. So, and while you got that part of it, the strength of the children of Israel, God is. And David, you're going to say the same thing while you're over here this far. Psalm 27. David's going to say it. So it's our turn. David had his turn, I have my turn. You have your turn. Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength, there it is, the strength, the fortress of my life, the inaccessible place. Of whom shall I be afraid? How can I be afraid? How can I worry? Verse 2, when the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh. They stumbled and fell. Though an host, a whole tribe, host, thousands, should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after. Well, what is that, David? That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. God, you're a wonderful, wonderful Savior, a wonderful, wonderful God in a most wonderful way. Now, having said that, back over to Zechariah and chapter 9. So God, you're given the instructions to the believing remnant in Zechariah's day. And they are to know, verse 12, they are to turn to the stronghold, the fortified place is none other than God. They're to find their safety hidden in Christ, for saying it our way, in the church age. I turn you to the stronghold. You, prisoners of hope. That's what you are, prisoners. Now, our little word prisoner comes from the word to bind, to put in bonds, to fasten to anything, to be captive, to be taken prison, to be put in jail, tied up, handcuffs, whatever. Bound. What are they? They're bound ones. They're captives. They're bound. Prisoners of hope. They're locked on. The blood of Jesus Christ assures the whole arrangement. This fortified place guarantees the enemy can't knock it out. The enemy can't destroy it. To say it like in John 10, who can take the believer out of my hand? Question. Here you are. Who can take you out of my hand? And my hand and my Father's are one. No one's going to take you. Fortified. You're prisoners. You're bound. You're mine. I'll give it to you fast. You don't have to turn there. Revelation and chapter 1, what do you know? The book of Revelation is written not just to anybody and everybody. No, it isn't. It's only written to the servants of the Most High God. And the word servant is bondman, slave, the lowest position you could have in the Roman and Greek world. There's no more, that's the bottom. A dog was better off than a slave sometime. You're slaves. I've given it to my slaves. Paul will say when he writes, I'm a bondman, I'm a slave. What are we? You know all these things. What are we? We're sons. We're children. Underline, you're slaves. You're my slaves. I've taken the word slave, the lowest bottom of the pile, and I've risen it to the top. And I am God's slave, as it were. And you are my slave. A relationship, a commitment, a prison, locked in, you can't get out. No. What's so wonderful is if you lived in Zechariah's day and you looked up, Ezra and Nehemiah haven't come in yet, and you're looking out, there's rubbish, there's the enemies all over the place, the people that don't like you, don't want you, they're all over the place. So what are we going to do? Well, God says, make sure you turn to the stronghold, fortified, based on the blood of the covenant. It's absolutely assured, absolutely there, and I have made a commitment. You are my prisoners. You are prisoners of my hope. hang on, you belong to me. No one else can have you. That's, think it easy. No one else can have you. Wife, husband, father, mother, brother, sister, nope. Friends, enemies, nope. No one else can have you. You're bought with a price. You're not your own. Now, God, that's an awesome thing. So here we are. Over if I could, Zechariah chapter 9. Verse 12, turn you to the stronghold, fortified place. Ye prisoners, your bound ones, bound to hope, prisoners of hope. The hope that belongs to you, the hope you can't get away from. Nope, you can't get away from it. Nope, the hope. Okay, so let's look at the word hope. The word hope is used from a cord, where you think of a rope, remember? And you take all the strength, think if you've ever been to Mystic Seaport or something sometime, and you've gone to the where they place where they made the big ropes that were like this, that went and held ships, you know, you could see them, big ropes like that. Wow. And they had this long room, and they turn, and these little threads, like little pieces of cloth, pliers and stuff. And they just keep winding little pieces of glass together. Keep winding them. It becomes this big rope. Holds a big ship. That's right. That's what the word is. Hope. Winding all the pieces together. It's a big cord. That which fastens. Twisted to make a big rope. That's stretched. Strong. Doesn't go away. To bind oneself in a rope. What are we saying? The prisoners, you are bound. The prisoners are bound. Are bound ones. They're tied, like a prisoner. The prisoners are bound. They're tied. They're tied. Hang on. That's what God says. That's how God sees it. A relationship. Wow. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, the promise to bind, to make tight, to endure, to hope. What is hope? Well, hope is that which you're looking for, expect your expectation. You're looking for something. God, we're prisoners of hope. We're prisoners, bound ones. For what? What God is after. Well, God, what are you after? What are you after, God? Well, Job, let's go to Job. Job, different ways. Here's Job, over to Job chapter 8. To be a prisoner of hope, bound. Over to the book of Job, please, if you would. Job in chapter 8, I think. And you'll pick it up to follow it and put it together. In Job chapter 8, he's going to say, in the light of it all, and without saying all the context for time's sake, chapter 8, verse 11, can the rush grow up without mire? Can the flag grow up without, in other words, in the swamp, and all the plants have to have water. Everything has to have anything to grow. Verse 12, while it is yet in its greenness, not cut down. In other words, it's going to be cut down. It withereth before any other herb. In other words, it gets cut down. So are the paths of all that forget God, and the hypocrite's hope shall perish. There's your little word hope, the hypocrites. They're hoping for something. They're hoping it's tying it all together, binding and making strong. They're hoping. But that hope isn't going to go anywhere. And to do it again, just to see it a little better, over to Job 27. And in Job 27, picking up, if I can, in the light of it, you'll see it, go to verse 8. 4. What is the hope of the hypocrite? Though he hath gained, the hope, when God taketh away his soul, will God hear his cry when trouble cometh upon him? Now, God, where's your hope gone? Well, we got hope in all, I hope this will happen, I hope that'll happen, and hope. But where is our hope? Well, A, the believing heart is a bound one, to the fortified place by the blood of Christ, locked in, and they're bound for what? They're locked in for what? For what God's doing. Whatever God's after. Our expectancy. I'll say it easier for you. Think of Colossians 1:27. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the hope. What's the hope? What God has in mind. God has in his mind. You're in a fortified place. So, God help us. So, if I can, now move over to Job 29. And in Job 29, picking up, please, you'll catch it in verse 1. Moreover, Job continued the parable and said, Oh, that I were as in months past, in the days when God preserved me. In other words, he's looking back at his life before God let all of these things happen. When his candle shined upon my head, and when by the light I walked through darkness, as I was in the days of my youth, when the secret of God was upon my tabernacle, my body, when the Almighty was yet with me, when my children were about me. In other words, everything was good before all this happened, remember. When I washed my steps with butter, and the rock poured me out rivers of oil. Everything I did was wonderful. That was a wonderful life. I had a wonderful life. Wonderful country. Verse 7, when I went out to the gate through, when I went out to the gate through the city, when I prepared my seat in the street, the young men saw me and hid themselves, and the angel arose and stood up. Wow, I had everything going for me. A wonderful, wonderful, wonderful time I did. Wow, it was a wonderful time. But, that didn't stay that way. Over to chapter 30. And in verse 26, you'll pick it up again. When I looked for good, then evil came unto me. When I waited for light, there came darkness. And God, you let it all change. I did, he said. I did. Now, why did you do that? And you know all those things. God, you did it. To what? And remember, Job said in the beginning, he would not sin. He told his wife, God meant God is good, and God allows good. All things work together for good. God allows evil for you to discover. All things work together for good. If you don't have the evil, the trouble, how do you know they're good? How do you know it can come out? Aha! Now, so having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you would, going over, please, go over, if you can, to Jeremiah. Jeremiah and in chapter 14. And in Jeremiah chapter 14, picking up in thought, if I may. You'll catch it. Chapter 14, in verse 19. Get the idea of it. Hast thou, chapter 14, verse 19. Hast thou utterly rejected Judah? That's a question. Hath thy soul loathed Zion? Do you hate Israel, Zion? Why has thy soul loathed Zion? Why hast thou smitten us, and there is no healing for us? We looked for peace, and there is no good, and for the time of healing, and behold, trouble. We looked, we wanted to see things differently. But God, you let them happen. It happens in Zechariah's day. It happened in Job's day. It happens in Jeremiah's day, even ahead of Zechariah. It all happens in God, chapter 29. Jeremiah 29, you remember it. We got that far anyway. Chapter 29. And here's our little word, hope, expectation. And may I pick it up, please, in verse 10. For this, thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to remain in this place. I'm going to let you stay here. Verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected, there's your word, a hoped for, hoping. You want something to happen. You expect something to happen. Think of the little word hope. You want something to happen. You expect it to happen. It's going to happen. You expect it. You're not wrong in expecting it. You're not wrong in looking to the future, Israel. Israel has a wonderful future, but not yet. Here we are on planet Earth, and God has to help us. So before we have an expected end, verse 12, this then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And if you will seek me and find me, when you search for me with all your heart, verse 14, I will be found of you, saith the Lord. I'll be there. You're going to find me. I'm right there. I have a wonderful plan for you. Prisoners, bound ones, tied up by a rope, tied up, bound ones, tied up by a rope. Hope, say it. Prisoners of hope, you're bound ones, tied up with a rope. Wow, you're really locked in. That's right. Wonderfully, wonderfully, wonderfully locked in. God. Now, Isaiah chapter 40. Again. In Isaiah chapter 40, and picking up, please. And you'll catch it. Chapter 40, picking up, please. In chapter 40, and we'll catch the flavor of it quickly, in verse 28. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the earth, the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, there is no searching of his understanding. So he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint, no matter how much everything, no, even they're going to fail. Even the youths shall faint and be weary. And the young men shall utterly fall. Because it's inevitable. You can't. You only have so much for so long. Verse 31. But, in contrast, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And there's your little word, wait. They are waiting. It's a participle. an active participle. It keeps me, you're waiting, and you keep waiting, and you're waiting, you're waiting. What do you mean you're waiting? You're hoping, wait, hope, expect. What are you doing? They that wait, they that are hoping, they that are expecting, looking to God, the strong one, the stronghold, looking to God. And you can't do that, you keep doing that, and God, it doesn't go away, it doesn't stop, doesn't disappear. Nothing stops, just keeps going. And so God, here we are looking, you're going to go and do a wonderful thing. And Israel is to understand, Zechariah is to understand, that day's coming, Ezra and Nehemiah are coming, not yet, nope. But you have to hang in there, and that's what you're going to do. You're prisoners of hope. Wonderful, wonderful hope. Over, if you would please, over in Colossians. In closing, Colossians. And would you please note in Colossians in chapter 1, verse 5, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. You heard. God gave you the good news. There's a wonderful hope laid up for us. That hope is locked in a wonderful, wonderful way. That hope is locked in. How is it locked in? Over to verse 27. It's a wonderful thing. No one ever heard of it. No one could ever dream it could ever be. But it is. Verse 27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of the mystery of this mystery among you, the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. God's wonderful, 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 wonderful person going to make it all work. And, you know, we think of Hebrews, you don't have time to turn there. He's seated at the right hand of God. And in his perfect humanity, and in his wonderful deity, ever presence, we're locked in. He's in us, and we're seated there, seated in heavenly places. That's where we are, located. Mm-hmm. We're locked in. So now what? Well, God. And it's connected, like the ship, Hebrews 6. Think of the rope, the anchor. We're down here, bobbling around. And the ship, is it going to get, nope, it's anchored. The soul, drifting around, drifting in life. It's locked in. The anchor, Christ Jesus, the hope, your expectancy. God expects it all to work. And you are prisoners of that expectation. That's what you're to be. Prisoners of that wonderful expectation of God. So we're locked in. So we could wander, worry, all kinds of things. But then we have to recover quickly because we don't need to do that and we lose out when we have such sureness and surety as we journey. So God has to help us as we go. And so as we go, remember our country, remember the military, veterans and all of that. And all of that depends. They all gave their life, like we said today. They all gave their life for what? Not for pizza. They gave their life to secure the surety of the Declaration and the Constitution, which is the basis of our republic, which rests on God. And that's why they all died. That's why they went through whatever. And if you put that aside, how do you celebrate Veterans Day? How are you going to celebrate Veterans Day? I don't know. Wow.